Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, is my sick co-host, RJ Sines.
Tell me about it.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and Drano. Talk about pouring your money straight down the drain.
Womp womp.
This is a product that I bought the other day, and it occurred to me as I handed him a crisp $20 bill, took home the product, and proceeded to pour it straight down my sink. I went, did I just waste 20 bucks?
Basically. There's not a lot of products that you get to do that with. Like, you could argue that you do that with, like, motor oil or something, but that's, like, over a span of a year
or
so.
But, right, like, you don't just go buy cereal, go home, and just pour it in the sink.
Or, like, syrup, just pour it over all your pancakes in one meal. And syrup isn't even that expensive, but, yeah. Anyways.
Drano. It's a magic product.
That's just comedy gold, people. That's a Ben Harris original.
Today we're talking about Jim Gaffigan. You know him. He's lazy. He's white. He's one of the funniest comedians out there right now. Internationally known.
Internationally known? That's your tagline there.
He is, right?
He is.
You know what? We're going to get into it. But first, before that, RJ, take us through comedy news.
You need to make your transitions a little bit slower. I think that would really help us with the show.
We're still transitioning to comedy news.
So this week, some interesting news. There's a film that's coming out in February called Dying Laughing. It's a stand-up documentary. Interviews people like Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, Kevin Hart, Sarah Silverman, and the late Gary Shandling.
Ooh.
It's super interesting. I'll put a trailer in our show notes, along with all the other videos that we talk about on the show today. But it's just an interesting perspective hearing, you know, the different comedians throughout the last few decades talking about their approach and, like, why they do it, like, why they want to do it. Some comedians even saying, like, I need to do this. Like, I need the approval. Mm-hmm. Like, without, like, and it's, like, a little over the top, honest, but, like, still, like, there's a truth to that. Like, some people just, they're born to entertain, and that's what they want to do.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, all of them.
I feel like she would need it.
Why?
Is that bad? Because, I don't know, she just seems like that type of person.
I used to think about Amy Schumer when she did, like, all those comedy
roasts. But you
think
roasts. It's an act?
No, when she did, like, the comedy roast on Comedy Central. Like, I felt like, man, what are you doing? You're just desperate. But I don't know. Maybe that's just, like, a character act.
Probably.
Some of her stuff is actually pretty funny, I think.
I believe it.
Yeah. Speaking of stand-up, you, Ben, and friends at home can go watch Pete Holmes' new stand-up special, Faces and Sounds. It's now on HBO. I'm sure it's other places on the internet that I couldn't point you to necessarily. But I thought it was really funny. He does a great job of little wordplay bits, little, like, just twerks on reality. He even self-describes his own bits as, like, big zoom-out bits. Like, he'll say, like, Han Solo. More like Han Duo. That guy's always with Chewbacca. So it's like, anyways, probably the best joke of the whole bit. Just talking about, like, language and the phrase edited, like, if you edited a TV show or a podcast,
sure,
and saying that I edited it, right. I edited it. It just sounds like a bunch of marbles falling down a wooden staircase. There's too many did-it-its for that sentence. It shouldn't be allowed.
But I edited it.
Yeah, so pretty funny. I thought his last one was funnier, but still worth the watch.
Excellent.
And another stand-up special that you can check out right now on Netflix is Jim Gaffigan's fifth TV special, Cinco.
Ooh.
Which is, in case you didn't know, Ben, here's a wacky fact for you. Cinco is Spanish for five.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that numbers existed in other languages.
I know. It's crazy. The Mayan calendar and everything works out on that.
2012, we'll all be gone.
Yeah, so it's very similar to his typical shtick, which we'll get into in talking about what he does best. But he had some pretty good anecdotes about his wife and binge watching TV and Netflix, which I thought was appropriate.
Whoa, RJ, getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
No.
That's what we're talking about this week. You can't spoiler alert the spoilers.
Nah, it's okay. A lot of his material is very similar in this as it has in the was in his past specials. So if you like his stuff, I guarantee you'll like Cinco.
On a rating of 1 to 25, how many Gaffigans do you give it?
I'll give it like 15 and a half Gaffigans.
Fair.
And one skinny Gaffigan.
Do those exist?
Yeah.
The rare skinny Gaffigan. Ooh. I don't know if they exist.
Locale.
Locale Gaff. Like we said, our topic for this week is Jim Gaffigan. He's hilarious. He's white. He's himself. He's so lazy and good. But let me give you a little brief history on him. He started his stand-up career in the 90s, straight out of college. Then he moved to New York to pursue that dream. Since then, he has released 10 comedy albums, and he has a plethora of TV and film appearances. He's been a regular performer on Letterman and Conan, successfully collaborating with Conan for Pale Force, some good stuff. But yeah, he just created his own television sitcom, which airs on TV Land. And yeah, he's Jim Gaffigan.
It's hard to miss his face.
Right?
If you're trying to figure out what he looks like, I'm pretty sure this will help you. He's been in KFC commercials lately as Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
So if you think of Colonel Sanders' face, even though it's kind of like that two-tone gray white, like just imagine the face just like super white and take out the glasses. Like
right.
He's kind of got that rectangular, like, not rectangular. It's just a thick head,
not
like
really
a potato head.
Yeah.
He's bald. Anyways.
He's not bald.
Yeah.
He's got hair.
Minimal hair.
He's got hair.
It's like classic 50-year-old dude hair. I don't know.
Sure.
Not a lot.
That's not bald.
Sure, but it's not a like full head of hair.
I get it.
Meet me halfway. Yeah.
Okay. He's pale. But here's the question, RJ. Is he even funny or why?
Or what? How would we know?
That's the name of this episode. Is he even funny or why?
Pass. Next episode. Sarah Silverman, funny or not? Why? I don't know. Next. Amy Schumer, funny or not? Why? Ben
Got
says
me.
No.
Okay. Yes, Jim Gaffigan is funny, and we're going to tell you why. He's funny because he appeals to the everyday average human being. He provides observational humor at its best by using irony, satire, even preemptive audience responses. He becomes that person sitting next to you thinking out loud, and it's hilarious. He can talk about the simplest of topics in great length without seeming redundant or boring, playing off laziness, disenfranchised antics. He helps us laugh at ourselves and how ridiculous we all are. And
yeah,
that's what makes him the Gaffigan.
Yeah, I think it's his Beyond the Pale special where he'll just hit these easy topics that you could think of, like simple things, but just stretch it out to the point where you're going, how is he still talking for 10 minutes about butter?
Right.
Like, this is crazy to me. And so that, I mean, when we look at, I mean, all of his stuff, we're going to talk a lot about food, talk a lot about laziness, but that's his wheelhouse.
That's not something, though, that you see in a lot of other comedians. They like to hit on some points and then bail and then hit on some other points. And then, do you know what I mean? Like, it's very, like, you know, obviously every comedian is very structured out, but
right,
they have their topic and they say what they think about that and they move on. And Jim, really, like, he can just spend time on one topic. And I think, his kind of style of how he goes about that really helps him to elaborate and go through every part of why the topic is funny.
Yeah.
But even him drawing attention to it also like helps us be able to put up with it longer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's start breaking down some of his style, because it is, like you said, it's a unique style. It's not a lot like the other comedians that are popular. I think one of the first things that stick out to me is like almost his badge of clean comedy that he wears. I think early on, like I know, Jim Gaffigan, he doesn't curse and he's funny.
Yeah.
You know, kind of one of those things, which is interesting to me. I think it's a lot more difficult in this day and age to be a very successful comedian and not play on like overly sexualized jokes or, you know, racial tension jokes or, you know, cursing all the time. Granted, it's hilarious. I do it. We all do it.
Sure.
And comedians are funny for it. But Jim has found tremendous success just being almost quote unquote Mr. Clean, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, he's very, very minimal cussing. But like, you know, he sticks to those basic topics. It doesn't go into like a lot of relationships or, you know, topics that can get very messy where
That's
a
true.
Comedian talks about, you know, some crazy experience that they've had. He's talking about hot dogs.
That's true.
And there's not, I mean, he's just talking about hot dogs.
Yeah. It'd be weird to get racy talking about hot dogs,
which
has like, happened to me before.
Like he can kind of do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So his brand of comedy is, I would call, true observational, right? So it's truly the way that he is seeing the world and reiterating that to the audience.
Yeah.
And along the way, he introduces his themes of self-deprecation, which are so popular, but in a way that's like, I mean, maybe you can help me phrase this better. It's not always self-deprecating because he doesn't really feel bad about himself.
Right.
He presents it in a way that's like, yeah, I'm lazy, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of a thing. I don't know.
I
guess.
He's totally okay with it, but he does, like, a lot of times just throw himself under the bus, you know?
Right.
He'll say, like one of his jokes is like, yeah, my wife got pregnant. Or my wife gave birth. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's been a real whirlwind. And, you know, she's doing great. It's been a couple months now. And I really think I should meet the kid. Like,
yeah.
He just, you know, gives himself out there as I'm this terrible dad.
Yeah.
And he does that over and over and over again. He says, I need to meet my kids, like, every time he has a new kid.
Right. Well, and still, I think it's just he makes that even more funny because he plays it up like, oh, he doesn't really care. Or, like, he's still kind of removed from it, which makes it almost funnier. But, yeah, I think he really is at his best just saying the stuff that goes on in his life or the way he looks at himself. And that's how it appeals to, like, the average person. Him being so self-deprecating is so much more accessible for the audience. So already we're able to get more on board with everything he's saying, because we're like, oh, he's not saying he's better than us. He's one of us, or we're better than him. You
right.
know what I mean? So I think that that's a great key into how we can see the world through Jim, is by not thinking that Jim thinks he sees the world better than us.
Yeah, well, he comes out and he uses himself. He throws himself under the bus to make us feel comfortable. And there's something appealing about somebody who has that awareness that can say that about themselves, and you feel like we're on the same team here, especially when he uses his character that will look back from the audience at him and make a joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so let's get into some of these categories of some of the stuff that he kind of focuses on. Food, obviously.
All food
is number one.
This is big number one, easily.
Yeah. I mean, maybe tied with laziness.
I mean, what's his world famous joke? What's his world famous joke?
Say it.
Hot Pockets.
Right.
That's his number one. If you haven't even heard
Hot
of Jim Gaffigan,
pockets.
You know, Hot Pockets. and he does everything about Hot Pockets. He does how they're made, how you put them together, like, you know, how much diarrhea you get, how the jingle was made. And it's like 12 minutes of stand-up all
yeah.
on Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
If you search Hot Pocket Jim Gaffigan, you're bound to find so many videos on it.
It's incredible. I mean, I mean, and it's so relatable. It's hard not to be. But just like, I love the like, oh, I'll take a Hot Pocket, please. And they're like, oh, would you like that frozen in the middle? Yes, ice cold. He's like, how about lava on the outside? Please, I'd like to never taste again.
Yeah. boiling lava hot. Will it burn my mouth? It'll destroy your mouth.
It'll destroy your mouth.
Yeah, so he can spend so much. I mean, gosh, there's even one show where he's just talking about like cake and pie. I think it's at Beyond the Pale.
Okay.
And he just goes through all these foods and all these things, and it just never stops, even to the point where he like does his you know, church lady or audience member, conservative lady, is like, is he just gonna talk about food this whole time?
Yeah.
And he's like, and what else? Pie. Like, he goes into the next thing. But
or he like he stays on bacon for a long time.
Yeah, it's the fairy dust of food products. Yeah.
He's like, if you put bacon bits on bacon, you go back in time.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And he does a good I would say equally to his food category is like his laziness. Like, we already talked about his self-deprecation. Right. In his new special Cinco, he talks about how he doesn't understand people going hiking.
Yes. Oh, that was my favorite bit. I love that he's just like, there's a ridiculous amount of climbing involved in hiking. He's like, do you want to go hiking? He's like, no, I have a driver's license. Yeah. It's like so good.
Where his dream is just to, his idols are the grandparents from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yes. They just stay in bed the whole time. Yeah. And even their son, who wins a golden ticket to the most magical place in the world, only one of the four gets out of bed for that.
I love that. I think he does like a 10-minute thing on beds.
Yeah.
So good.
But yeah, he can play the laziness bit. Like, it just, it goes hand in hand with the food, because it's always him sitting down eating, or him like being so sleepy he just wants to eat or whatever. But I think one of my favorite topics that he touches on is religion, because he has that Catholic background. Right. Both him and his wife are Catholic. I don't know how Catholic, but they're Catholic enough for it to be prominent material for him. And like, he has this great bit talking about heaven. He's like, pearly gates, is anyone ever concerned as to why heaven's in a gated community? Yeah, we had a bunch of kids trying to sneak over and get into the pool, so we had to, you know, go down to hell and get a contractor and everything.
Oh, that's too easy.
Yeah,
that's so good. He even, like, he'll just bring Jesus into other things, where like he does this bit on Christmas where he's like, man, Christmas seems kind of backward, doesn't it? He goes, we're gonna take all these lights out here take all these lights in here and put them outside, and take that tree out there and put it inside. He's like, man, that seems like the behavior of a drunk man. Like, we're going to switch it around and decorate it for Jesus.
For Jesus.
That's so good.
Yeah, and his bit on Jesus is, you know, what if he wasn't really a good carpenter?
He's just okay.
You know, he was up there the whole time. I'm the Son of God. Yeah, well, right now you're building a shed. So hop to it, Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's got some good religion bits.
Yeah, and like, man, his style really plays into it, because unlike a lot of comedians, stand-up comedians especially, like, he really does not use the stage. Like, he stands
still.
They don't even have like a spotlight that follows him. They have a set spotlight and he just stays within that spotlight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't move around a lot. He usually has a stool next to him that he can use, like, if he's going to act like he's climbing or something.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, he barely does that.
He barely moves. And it obviously plays into his laziness and his, you know, kind of, like, character that he's created. But I think it's impressive, to say the least, that, you know, like, you think of some other comics where they're just, like, big and moving and loud and they're all over the place. But he's, like... Really, it's 99% his delivery.
Right.
And I'm sure he's scrutinized over this. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know now that we're talking about it, what the parameters are for how much and how little you should move on stage as a stand-up comedian. I know from very limited experience as a performer that it's good to work the stage.
Right.
But I mean, the guy's good for a reason. I think it's like, if you can own it. Right.
Right.
And he owns it for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's more that goes into it. He's creating a character, but also it's whatever gets you the most comfortable. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
I feel like I would be running around the stage because I would want my blood to be flowing. I would want, you know, my head to just
I think you meant like you, the audience.
No. If I were a stand-up.
Okay.
I would want movement because I would need that to like, for my brain to be going as fast as I need it to go.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff he kind of talks on is family. One of my favorite bits that he does, he's like, so I had my fourth child and and everyone applauds and goes, thanks, no, it wasn't that hard. He goes, do you know what it's like having four kids?
Oh, I know this.
He
goes,
it's like you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby.
Yeah. That's so good.
So good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he's always, I think you had talked about it earlier, just with how he'll be like, yeah, my wife got pregnant again, and I mean, she's been nagging me, but I know it's been a few months since the baby's been born, but I haven't met him yet.
Right, I need to get to know this kid.
He's
like, My wife does about like 90% of the work and I'm doing 10% of the work, and I really feel like that 10% is beginning to be too much.
Yeah.
Like he's so ridiculous with like that combos, the lazy and family.
And kind of along his family, like he talks a lot about like his own like heritage or ethnic background, like even his whole album about being pale or white. You know, he does this whole bit about swimming in a pool with a long sleeve sun shirt. How he always has to wear those like long sleeves like in the pool, or all his kids do too. They have to wear SPF 5000 reflects light back at the sun.
Yes, I was reading like a questionnaire with him and it was like, what sunscreen do you use? And it said FPS flannel.
Wait, feet per second?
Sorry. SPF.
Yeah, I gotcha. I just wanted to make sure that you knew what FPS meant.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But one of the best parts of his whole act is his metacognition, almost how he's able to use this voice. We've already kind of talked about it a little bit. It's a woman's voice, I'm pretty certain, and she's fairly conservative, but he'll cut to her almost sometimes in between jokes, after jokes. As if it's the audience asking it. Oh, I didn't think he was going to say that at all.
Right.
How about you tell some better jokes, fella? Tell some about food instead. Mm-hmm.
Is he really still talking about bacon? How many bacon jokes can he do? And he's getting laughs on each one of these bits, like these little lines. And it just keeps going and rolling off. And it's perfect because you are thinking these things.
Right.
And then he says it.
Yes.
And that calls attention to it.
And that's a big part of, you know, when you and I, anyways, on the show talk about comedic theory and setting up this world, setting up this universe, and then betraying it almost, this surprise. You're almost double surprised. You're watching this act and you're having these thoughts, right? And he's calling out your own thoughts, your own ideas, and voicing them back to you almost simultaneously as you're having them. And it's the ultimate betrayal because we're supposed to think as audience members that the comedian is just up there to tell jokes. And he doesn't know what we're thinking.
Right.
He's assuming that we're going to think it's funny and he's right. We're laughing. But he doesn't know that I'm like, all right, buddy, wrap it up. You've done a lot of time on food.
Right.
But then here he is calling it out, or he's calling out like, hey, buddy, how about we go back to talking about something more wholesome?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And even, I think, we were just talking about how he talks about religion. He does this whole bit on religion, all this stuff. And then he's like, wouldn't that be just great if I got struck by lightning right now? It's the best show ever. And it saved my faith.
That's so good.
Yeah, so this character kind of like goes off in its own little things, and so he does a good job, I think, being more genuine with how he knows his own crowd and how he knows what he's doing on stage, which is really cool.
And you were talking a little bit about like the betrayal, and he uses that a ton. Like he'll set something up to where it sounds so obvious and just do like the crazy other thing that you're thinking. Like, he has this one joke where he says, yeah, I watch a lot of TV, I drink a lot of coffee, but you know what's really addictive? Heroin.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which I would... That's from Cinco, I think.
Is it?
I think it is. You know, fact check me, whatever. This is such a departure. I mean, it's, you're right on the money for how big of a betrayal it is.
Right.
But he doesn't do a lot of dark comedy stuff. Like, right. A heroin joke, I would say, is categorically dark comedy.
Sure.
But for Jim, I would love to see him go this route with his comedy, mm-hmm. more, especially because he's, you know... Not only has he established, you know, the jokes, but he's also established himself as this wholesome, clean, quote-unquote, kind of comedian. So for him to introduce more jokes about, you know, random stupid stuff like that that is not necessarily covered by him, I think could have some killer laughs. I think one of my favorite jokes he does is about the phone call or the advertisements in your hotel room that you get late at night on TV. After hours.
Oh, yes.
I'm on my way to a funeral. After hours. I could be a little late. After hours. He was a good father.
Oh my gosh.
And so yeah, I think that's a huge thing that we don't see him really tap into, but for good reason. He's established his niche. One of the other voices that I love that I think he started doing in Mr. Universe is like this Italian mobster,
yeah.
guy.
Hey,
so you guys are thinking here, what if we you know, invented something pretty crazy, like a Hot Pocket or something?
Yeah.
He does that kind
of
thing.
Ridiculous.
He's
also got like the little kid when he's like, he's like, sperm whale? That seems inappropriate. Who named that? An 8-year-old boy? And he goes, I was thinking like a sperm whale or a bugger whale.
Yeah. Yeah, so he has some pretty good characters that I would say take a back seat as far as like spotlight, but they're huge supporting parts of his show,
sure,
and his,
yeah.
act, and they make a lot of the show. I think it reminds me a lot of Brian Regan.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I think it reminds me a lot of Brian Regan. Brian Regan is over the top, crazy characters, also another quote unquote clean comedy act.
Yeah.
And he's got, grape is second favorite.
Right.
How many, you know, he does
off
stupid voices,
head, yeah.
like all that stuff. And Jim Gaffigan has a very similar, like, idiot voice,
right.
almost, where he just makes fun of people.
Yeah. If you're listening to the two, I'd say very comparable. But when you watch those two,
wow.
like I was saying, Jim stays in the spotlight. What's his name?
Brian Regan
is
all over. He's on a treadmill, constantly,
yeah.
moving up and down.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and he takes like long steps. I feel like he's like squatting and taking.
And when
long
you think
steps.
About like even just facial expression. That's Brian Regan is like all his face is like putty and his eyes are like jumping out of his face.
Right.
And Jim Gaffigan couldn't be more reserved most of the time.
Yeah. I feel like his a lot of his facial expressions are very subtle. It's like it's almost constricted to his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like he goes up of like surprise and then he's like, he's got this like kind of down most of the time. But yeah, he's
his typical like
pretty expressive.
The extent of his movement is like the side of his head, like kind of tilting to the side and being like,
yeah. When he's talking about whales, he's like, boo. He does like a whale sound.
What's the whale?
Whales
bit?
Are depressed.
Yeah. Or they're in denial about their own weight.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly water weight. All I eat is anchovies.
And cupcakes.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I think exploring the darker side of that observational humor, almost kind of Mitch Hedberg-esque,
mm-hmm.
but inserting that audience perspective as well.
Yeah, and I think...
would be a good step for him.
I think the big question moving forward for Jim Gaffigan, and I mean, for any comedian really, comes out of his last special, Cinco. I gave a little mini review, like, yeah, I wasn't super surprised by a lot of the material. It's very much mirrors his stuff in the past. The question is, for him and other artists, like, where do you go from here? Do you simply try to rehash the same stuff that you've made successfully, or do you try to reinvent some of your stuff and make it into a new thing? And I think we kind of already kind of talked about that. Yeah. You know, I could see him going into these darker jokes, like do more drug abuse jokes, even like that could be really funny with the premise that he has of being just that more wholesome family man. Be like, well, I was a father of five until I put three of them up for adoption, like that kind of a stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's tough. I feel like, you know, you can compare it to music. You know, if you know, like Coldplay comes out with a new album and it's just total jazz, like, man, that's a real departure for them. Is it going to be successful or not? Like, you're kind of abandoning your fan base, but also you're introducing this new kind of crowd. It's a risk, obviously. Yeah. With any change, there's risk. But it's tougher to me, I think, for a comedian to dramatically change up your style, because it really, style is a lot of just you out there, you know, and how you do it. Like, you can play jazz and then play rock or whatever. Those are two different things.
Right.
Your guitar is the expression, but this is, you know, you're a comedian. Your voice is the expression.
Yeah, I think it's a delicate balance. And Bo Burnham talks a lot about this in his most recent act. But it's a delicate balance of the artist doing what he wants without the audience telling him what he should be, yet the artist doing what makes the audience happy.
Laugh, yeah.
And
make happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So I really think that that's an interesting tension just from the philosophical perspective of art. But, you know, dumbing it down just to Jim Gaffigan, I think he's got a great shtick. I think he's got a great show.
For sure.
Go see Cinco on Netflix. He's got like three other specials that are also on Netflix, like right now. And, you know, write us some thoughts. Where should he go next? Like, is he done? Should he just pull the plug and be like, I'm out, I've had a good run?
Or, you know, like branching into, you know, more acting roles, TV. Like, you know, Robin Williams did comedy, stand-up throughout his life, but, you know, he was most successful when he
was acting,
took those other steps into other projects.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about comparing apples to oranges.
Right, yeah, that's tough. Like, that's tough.
I mean, I would arguably say that, you know, Gaffigan is the stand-up comedian. I don't know if he could ever be an Academy Award winner. Yeah. I don't know if he could ever be in a dramatic role necessarily.
Well, he doesn't need to.
That's true.
But I think comedic acting roles could help him out.
Yeah.
Help him grow.
Yeah. I mean, even take a page from Jerry Seinfeld's book, which is do what you're good at and stick with it.
Yeah. Well, if we go by those rules, then he's not going to change up. Do you know what I mean?
Get in a car, get some coffee, and find your friends and go talk to them for money.
Did he do one with Gaff?
He has, yeah. Jerry Seinfeld has done a comedian's cars getting coffee with Jim Gaffigan.
He's wearing glasses?
Yes, he is wearing glasses.
I remember it now.
Yes. I always get the one with him and the one with Louis C.K. mixed up.
Louis C.K. goes out on a boat.
I know.
I remember that one now.
But that's another interesting dichotomy. I mean, you have two guys that are both very similar ages, both come from very similar places in comedy, completely different acts.
Right. Cynical.
Louis C.K., super cynical, like you said. And but like, he's got two daughters. He's got daughter comedy.
Right.
But he's got a joke where he's just cussing out this kid on the playground.
Right.
Where he makes up a name Chrysanthropus or something. Chrysanthropus, some crazy name. But yeah, and then Jim Gaffigan, who's I just think nicer, question mark.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. But they're both from New York.
Right.
I don't know. Anyways, and they both have shows from New York. Well, we should do a versus episode.
Ooh, that would be a good one. RJ, any last thoughts on Gaffigan?
Yeah, I think, if you look at it from a talent...
You know what that means.
Okay.
It's the time of the show for Ben's Wacky Facts. That's where I, Ben, say some wacky facts, and then RJ puts them on the baseball field as a rating system.
I got burnt. That was good, man.
That's my new bit. It's just surprise facts.
Surprise facts.
And you burn. You burn.
And then I'm just going to say my catchphrase.
Look it up.
Look it up. Wow, you beat me to it. Good for you, man.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, here's wacky fact number one. Jim Gaffigan earned a degree in finance from Georgetown University and worked as a litigation consultant in Florida before he switched careers to comedy.
Wow.
A little different.
Talk about a 180. That's
all
I got.
Ooh,
tough crowd, right?
Isn't that nuts?
That is crazy. I can't. And it's always amazing because there's, I mean, almost in every artistic community, there's people who are like, yeah, I was this tax guy in Mexico. And then I was like, forget it. I'm a painter.
Yeah. Sure.
Screw it. I want to build a home.
So far, his career mimics a good friend of ours who's very pale. Kyle, he does finance.
I don't think you could compare.
Sure.
Okay. You can compare whoever you want. Who am I to say?
Put it on the field.
Okay, this is easy. This is wacky. This is a gentleman up to bat. And the pitcher throws the ball, and he swings. But wait, he's holding a tennis racket, and he hits it, and it's going towards the fences, and it just turns out to be a ground rule double.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do a Moneyball reference.
Moneyball.
Because he did finances.
That's not bad. I should have
gone
there.
Maybe I should be rating these
facts. Maybe you should be rating this.
Okay, here's
wacky. But you know what we say in wacky facts. You can't hit a home run every time.
Nope, no one's ever said that. Except for you have said that.
Right now, yeah, I'm saying it right now.
Okay, here's wacky fact number two. He once worked for an advertising company and would play different clubs at night. Those shows would go super late in the night, and one time he fell asleep and had to be woken up just to be fired.
That is a Gaffigan joke, right?
Right? Yeah.
That's so like good.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty wacky. Oh, that's so easy. That's a guy up to bat, and then the pitcher throws the ball, and then the guy's just asleep, and he gets hit by the pitch, but the bases are loaded, so it's a run.
Oh, nice. Sleepwalk?
Yeah.
To first base?
Sleepwalk to first base. Easy one run.
That's the name of RJ's new book.
Sleepwalk
writing.
To first base. My memoirs on autobiography.
Here's wacky fact number Trace. As of June 2006,
whoa, that's a different year.
Jim Gaffigan was the most popular comic on Pandora.com with over 647 million plays.
Whoa. Wow.
Right?
That's a lot.
It's not surprising.
I mean, it's
you're
right.
But it is a lot. It's an astronomical number.
That's a huge, huge number. Almost as many as the views we're getting on our podcast, which is crazy. Yeah. That we're right up there with the gaff. Good old gaff tape. Just wrap it up and you got yourself.
Do they have podcasts on Pandora? No, right?
No, but we do have to plug the sponsor. This week, Pandora.com.
Ooh.
Listen to your own music at your own time. Pandora, we opened the box for you. That was like
nice
demons and stuff coming
out
of
Pandora. That was an early slogan for them. It got shot down.
Yeah. It was because Gaffigan was doing advertising for them and falling asleep on the job.
That's a good call.
Yeah, that's moderately wacky. I'll give you like classic swinging for the fences, hits the ball, and then it like hits the big yellow pole, so it's an automatic home run. But it could have been a foul, but you know, I'll give you the home run.
That's not how baseball works.
Yeah, if you hit the big yellow pole, it's an automatic homer.
It depends on which side it falls on.
Well, you know what? We'll let the viewers decide.
All right, so those are the facts, and you know what that means. It's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Cha-ching. This week's whale mail reads, hey, Ben and RJ, as head of customer support at Buzzsprout, I spent a lot of time thinking about how we can help you solve your problems with podcast.
Oh. What?
Oh, gosh. Sorry. That's the email from our host site, buzzsprout.com.
solving all of your podcasting needs. That's our other sponsor.
Yeah, that's our other sponsor. They're really great to us. So thanks, Buzzsprout. You guys are awesome. If any of you listeners are like, hey, I can make a podcast better than these idiots, go to Buzzsprout. They'll help you make a podcast better than these idiots.
That's their slogan.
That's their slogan. Helping you make podcasts better than these idiots since 1976. Okay, here's the real email. Hey, guys. I was wondering if you were still doing the Puffy Paint t-shirt contest even though it's 2017. I want that shirt. XOXO Lamar.
Did it laugh in the email or was that
No,
just
that was
you?
Me laughing. Okay, okay. I want that Puffy Paint t-shirt contest even though it's 2017. Remix.
Will I am.
Missy Elliott.
And Jay-Z.
Hold on. What's that? What was that?
Yeah, that's
like we're doing.
That's
a little...
the song.
Okay, got it.
Puffy paint t-shirt.
I thought you were doing the pen pineapple apple pen guy.
No, none of that here.
Oh,
it's deeper internet.
Lamar, yes, that is a great question. We had a puffy paint t-shirt contest earlier in 2016. And we want to reopen the floodgates for a new Puffy Paint t-shirt contest. So basically, here's how it works. If you go to our podcast page on iTunes and click ratings and reviews, you can submit even just stars or you could even write a review. Whatever you want to do. It's really quick and simple. You do that, then you send us an email, right? And our email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. And give us... your name, address, and shirt size, and say, I rated you on iTunes, I promise. We'll take your word for it.
Deal.
Honestly, how much can $200 worth of shirts really hurt us? I don't know.
Besides $200.
Besides $200.
We already bought them anyway.
We already bought that much in Drano, and that's fine. No one's worried.
Straight down the drain.
We got that Drano money.
But okay, so if you want a Puffy Paint t-shirt, the two things you got to do... rate us on iTunes, and then just send us an email. Say, hey, what's up? I did the email, shirt size, name, address. We'll send it to you. Maybe add in like a show you would want to see, or maybe add in your favorite attribute of RJ's voice.
Yeah, and no pressure. My voice has many facets and is beautiful all around.
Tons of pressure.
But yeah, just give us the basic info, and we'll try to get a shirt to you. If you had also, if you had... sent us a review on iTunes in the past contest but didn't receive a shirt for whatever reason,
just send us the
just
email.
Send us the email.
You're already halfway home.
Exactly. We'll have you round third and we'll get you that sweet shirt. And in case you haven't heard of this shirt, well, let me tell you, Ben, it is a beautiful cotton beefy teen t-shirt with your favorite neon puffy paint colors.
Beefy teen?
Yeah.
You mean beefy tea?
No, beefy teen. Oh, okay. It's a special line for those heftier adolescents.
But do they come in regular sizes?
One size fits all. No, just kidding. It's it's any size, people. I don't mean to confuse you. This is a bit, obviously. Any shirt size for the beefy teen shirts. But yeah, it's gonna say something on the front and something on the back about our podcast. It'll be something like, hey, here's a Whale Pod t-shirt, and these guys I listen to sometimes, and they're great. And on the back, it'll be like, seriously, check them out. They're sponsored by Pandora
Whaler.
And by Buzzsprout. I'm a whaler for life. And it has like a little transformer guy on the bottom. You're like, like
Jay-Z, yelling. Will I am. Yes, yeah. Elliot.
Yeah, it's got on the back of the shirt, it's Optimus Prime drinking a bottle of Drano. And his insides are just melting out from underneath him.
No, like, Drano would be like beer for Optimus Prime. He's double fisting two Dranos.
This is what it's like to be alive.
Okay, RJ, where can people find us?
Yeah, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher. Check out our Twitter page at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com.
You can find RJ on Twitter at Rodolfo the Brown.
And you can find Ben at Twitter at DranoDiva65.
My last encouragement to you, besides going to Ben Sound and saying, hey, thanks for giving Why Am I Laughing all their theme musics, is to tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Just grab your friend and say, hey, do you like laughing? And they're not going to say no because they don't want to be weird. They're not going to be like, no, I'm weird.
I'm a hard laugh. Really? Maybe really? You should lube up the dial a bit, buddy. Okay.
Yeah. And just grab them by the shoulders, by the scruff of their neck, and just say, go check out Why Am I Laughing?
Yeah.
They have to respond.
They have to. They have no choice. Free publicity.
But yeah, you can always come back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday to get a new episode from us straight to your brain.
Next week, we're very excited. We're talking about older fan recommendation, but nonetheless, it's one of our very near and dear comedies of all time. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Nice. That's a big shout out to Randy S. He wrote in a while ago, and now he's reaping the bennies.
Bennies.
Bennies for days.
Eggs bennies.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
But that's going to be the best show ever.
Wow.
I've gone to the future and I've come back and it's the best.
No pressure. It's going to be the best show.
No, it is, because it's Why Am I Laughing? It's Monty Python. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
So we want to leave you with our famous joke. It's an old adage given to us from a time traveler from the 30s.
Tim the Enchanter.
Tim the Enchanter from the 30s, the 1630s. He came forward in time and said, Ben and RJ, let me speed up this bit for you. He said, comedy is all about Drano timing. Cheers. Night.